Hello, listeners. This is the One Uppers podcast for episode 25. Today we have somebody who's been falcon punched way too much, Toxic Waste.
Oh wow, nice intro. Hey everyone.
You gonna show them your moves?
I'm gonna show them my move, falcon punch. That was lame. I'm sorry.
Beyond lame, man.
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you start out with what you've been playing.
All right. I know we've been playing pretty much the same stuff. Super Smash Bros. Brawl and Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword. With Super Smash Bros., it's weird because I didn't really play much of the other games, but this one I've been really addicted to. I've been playing it constantly, almost.
How do you like the characters so far?
I really like, you mean the new characters, yes?
I guess. I mean, some of the old characters got changed a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know if Toon Link counts as a new character. He's kind of a remake, like a re-envisioning of Young Link, right?
Well, he does feel a lot different than Young Link.
Yeah. I mean, he's got pretty much the same, it's like the same idea, where you have the older version and then the younger version, but this one is from Wind Waker, and I really like him. He's really fast. I don't like old Link, the older version of Link in this game. He feels a lot slower, harder. I don't know. He's kind of clunky.
His
clunky
spin
to
attack
me.
Is weak.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially up in the air, man.
Yeah, and the one-up show convinced me to try out Diddy Kong some more. And after I did that, I really enjoy using him, especially against fast or slow characters like Ike, where I could dodge all his powerful attacks.
What do you think of the final smashes so far?
They're pretty cool. I do like them. I do like how they're not prevalent throughout a match. They just show up occasionally, and then the whole mood changes and everybody's trying to get that smash ball, and so far I really like the I mean, I think I've seen every single final smash, and each one I see the pros to using each one. Like, they don't seem too powerful and they don't seem lame on any of the characters. Like, who do you use the most often?
Let me think. As for final smashes, I like using Snake.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Falcon's final smash is pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to use, though. You have to be right next to him, though.
Mm-hmm.
I do hate Donkey Kong's final smash.
Yeah, I don't get that. The bongos.
Well, the bongos are for Donkey Kong.
Yeah. But I mean, how to use it effectively? I don't know.
I guess I just start tapping buttons.
Yeah.
That's all. You can't, and he stays in that one place all the time.
Yeah.
So gay. Diddy Kong's final smash is pretty good, but he can't. It's kind of hard to control him when he's flying around.
Yeah.
Jigglypuff's one's pretty funny, though.
Because
she gets all big and then she explodes or something.
Yeah. It works best on small stages. She gets basically bigger than the stage, covers up almost the entire screen, pushes everybody off.
But, like you said, before when we were talking, before the show, the challenges where, you can see what to unlock and how to unlock it, and just the little hints.
Yeah.
On how to, little vague what you might get.
Right. I do, that's probably my favorite addition to this. I think the reason that I didn't play the previous games as much was because I didn't like how arbitrary things came to you, how you unlock things. So I didn't really see any incentive to play the single player modes in Melee, but now I like how I can, even if it's vague, I have some idea of what I'm supposed to do to unlock a trophy or a CD or a sticker. Excuse me.
So is that all you got to say for Smash Brothers?
That's pretty much it. I'm sure a lot of the people that are listening to this have played it in some form. Oh yeah, and the other game, Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword. We were talking about that earlier too. And I like pretty much, I've only played about a half hour of it, and I think the touch controls really work. I really like how Team Ninja incorporated it into everything that you do. And the one thing I don't like, though, is dodging and blocking with a button rather than not having it used with the touchscreen somehow. It just doesn't feel very comfortable, no matter which button you use.
Yeah, you can use that. For those who don't know, you can use any button to dodge, but the way you kind of hold it, hold the DS and do this stuff, you just really can't dodge right. I mean, if it wasn't hold letter book style, maybe it could have worked better.
Yeah, yeah.
But you just gotta find whatever's comfortable and plan ahead. Like, before boss battles, keep that little spot handy.
Mm-hmm.
And try your best, but overall the combat works well. I mean, I've been able to slash, dodge, do special moves, use the Nimpo ninja magic.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Pretty well.
Right.
There were a few moments where I got like lost in the heat of battle, and didn't know what the hell I was doing. But overall, like Phantom Hourglass, you think it on paper that sounds like the worst idea ever, but it's actually a pretty good combat system.
Yeah,
have fun.
I really enjoy it. Yeah. So that's it? Or no?
I do like some of the little puzzles they have on there, because even though the game's mostly action, you do come across some things that you have to use your head for. Like, you have to get these another Nimpo from the old man in the village. And he's asleep, and you don't know how to wake him. You kind of like tap him like you talk to people in the village, but he just doesn't wake up. Try to do special moves. Use the first Nimpo you have, try to wake him up, doesn't work. But actually, you have to blow in the mic and wake his ass up. It's kind of neat.
Well, that is kind of cool.
There's a dungeon where, like, you have to use your Nimpo to light two torches. And I didn't know that. I was like, I thought I was going to light the torches by defeating an enemy, but you actually have to use the Nimpo.
No, that's Zelda.
But in sometimes when you defeat enemies, like, a door will light up.
Yeah.
That's pretty much a game mechanic, but not just for Zelda.
Yeah, I know. But you associate that stuff with Zelda games.
Well, you also do have to light torches yourself with Zelda anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you like Ninja Gaiden or just love the combat of Phantom Hourglass, then you'll definitely dig Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, I think it's really, really well done. With what I've played, at least.
Yeah, I also got a Windon 1 and 2 coming in the mail from PlayAsia.com.
Oh, nice.
By the time this podcast comes out, the Easter sale they're having, or 20% off all in-stock items, might have gone down. But I got two games that usually run for almost $100 for about $74, so I'm happy.
Yeah, that's cool. I actually have
They're going to take a while to reach my house, though, because PlayAsia's worried about their shipping.
When do you expect them?
They said the shipping date is going to be like April 14th, so I'm going to have to wait a while. It's mainly because of a Windon 1, because it was like a item that's not in stock all the time. They just, I guess they go to, they get a Japan supplier every few weeks, you have to wait on them, but
yeah.
I'm going to have to wait a while, but I also got the Wii Zapper. I forgot to mention that.
With
it's alright. Yeah,
Link's crossbow training?
I only played a little bit of it, but it's pretty good. I mean, it's basically just a hit-the-target game, but it's pretty fun.
Is it better with or without the zapper?
I haven't played it without the zapper yet, but it's just a matter of opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some parts that I like to use. Would like to use the zapper and sometimes without it.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to use the zapper for Link's crossbow training at all.
Yeah,
you can actually use the zapper for any game. For those who don't know, my brother was like, he was asking me about it. And he was like, I can play this with any game. He's like, prove it. Play Smash Brothers with it, and I did. It's just a shell.
Yeah,
the Wii doesn't even know it has it.
Well, I mean, I can't think of any games that require the use of one over the other, like. You can, like, if you were to shake the zapper, both would shake at the same time. But I can't think of any games that would require you to only shake one, rather than both. Maybe
some games actually offer a control scheme to actually make use of the zapper, but none of them are required. Stuff like Resident Evil, Ghost Squad, stuff like that. But I guess that wraps up what you've been playing. And when we get back, we'll do news. Hello and welcome back. This is gonna be the news segment, and Toxic Waste has come back to join us.
Hello.
For this week, there's not that many pieces of news, but try to get as much as we could. For the Virtual Console, we have King's Knight, a Square game for the NES, even though they promised that they wouldn't put their games out for the Virtual Console because they would confuse their fans or something. But it's just, they don't want to put out Final Fantasies because they can milk them with the Game Boy Advance remakes, DS remakes, PSP remakes, stuff like that. And we also have Super R-Type, which is a side-scrolling shoot-em-up that I really don't care about. You have any interest in either of these games?
Sorry. No, I have no experience with either of the titles.
I guess we'll just skip that. Our next piece of news is the Japanese releases for the Virtual Console were announced for the month, and they were leaked on GoNintendo.com, and one of the titles was Dracula X Rondo of Blood, and since they're doing import titles, I thought maybe they'll probably bring it here and not give us the Super Nintendo port that they made that was kind of inferior to the TurboGrafx-16 CD game.
Mm-hmm.
I would buy the PSP game, but I don't have a PSP, and I actually want to play it on a D-pad that's not shit.
Yeah, I don't have a PSP. Yeah, I have been wanting to play this, but like you, I don't have a PSP. Is it really that bad, the D-pad?
My brother has a PSP, so I kind of got it how it felt. But I can't even stand regular PlayStation D-pads, so I'd rather play it on the Wii Classic controller than anything.
Yeah, okay.
Some WiiWare games got announced. They're all from Hudson. First is Alien Crush 2. That's actually a sequel to a TurboGrafx-16 game.
Right, and that's on Virtual Console now, right?
Yes. Alien Crush was on there a long, long time ago. But they're making a sequel for WiiWare, and it's got like 3D graphics and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
They're making a Tetris with online play and Mii support, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Some fish game, which I can't remember the name of, and an online version of Bomberman, which is fantastic.
It's cool.
They should all be releasing within the year, so I definitely going to be looking forward to everything except for the fish game.
And none of those are on the current Japanese WiiWare titles that are available in Japan.
None of them are. The only things that are out are like Pokemon Ranch, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, My Life as a King, and some other minor shit like ping pong.
Yeah.
But none of these games, because they just got revealed and not released.
Okay.
You looking forward to any of them?
Yeah. Well, each sounds pretty cool. I mean, they're already established. They're all sequels or just new entries into franchises we've already played. So I mean, you can't go wrong. But I want to see some cooler original titles. I really haven't seen much yet from WiiWare.
Well, there actually is some stuff that released in the past couple weeks, like a game where you're on a airplane and you're trying to kill zombies, and it's all like cel shaded and very stylish.
Hmm.
Kind of like if Suda 51 did one.
That's okay. I mean, because again, I've only seen like the ping pong Pokemon Ranch stuff. So.
And there's like a 2D platformer that looks pretty damn good. I think it's called Lost Wings or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of shit not too many people know about on WiiWare that got revealed and nobody really put on the news websites. Mm-hmm. But there's some really good WiiWare titles coming out.
All right, that's good. That's good. At least there's some hope.
Yeah. Final Fantasy Tactics Advance 2 is coming to DS. It's already out in Japan, but North America got a release date, and it's going to hit America on June 24th, so if you like the first Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, then you can look forward to the second one, or if you like the War of the Lions or the original Final Fantasy Tactics, you can look forward to that one. You got any comment?
Actually, no. I have friends that have played Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, and I know they really, really enjoy it, but I actually never played it. Have you had experience with that?
I don't really play any Final Fantasy games. I have a couple.
But oh, okay.
I really don't play them, and I've never played a Tactics Advance or whatever. Never played any of those.
So, I think we're the last people to be talking about this.
Call of Duty 4 is getting a map pack. It's going to be 4 maps for $10, and they're going to be released on April 3rd. So, y'all can look forward to that. I haven't played Call of Duty. I mean, I played it just a little bit, but I do not have it at home with me to play it anytime I want. I wish it did, because it's really an awesome game. But for those who do, you can look forward to new maps.
How much did the Gears of War maps cost when they first came out? Weren't they free when they originally came out? Oh no, they didn't. They were free later on.
Yeah, they were free later on.
Okay. Because I was gonna say, wow, this is not cool. I'm thinking of Texas Hold'em.
We've been got a price rumor for in Japan. It sells for about $70, give or take. But a lot of retailers online have been listing it for the North American release for $90. And I could imagine paying $70 on a maybe purchase, but $90 for Wii Fit, probably not. If it came with two balance boards, maybe, but. I ain't paying.
Yeah, well, they had to make them a little bigger for North America.
Yes. Guys, Americans are fat.
Yes.
Or maybe just because Japanese people are tiny, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, that's a little too steep for me. So no go. Even though that's kind of a high price point, do you still think it'll sell well? Do you think the mainstream will latch onto it, like Wii Sports? You doubt it?
Like with, like, Brain Age, stuff like that, those casual games, they already had the system, and usually they sell for budget price.
Yeah.
And those games took off real well, but buying a game that costs $90, that doesn't really seem like a casual player response. Only games like, music games like Guitar Hero and Rock Band, those are really the ones that can risk doing a bundle peripheral thing like that. But,
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I mean, it sold well in Japan, so maybe it's sell well here.
Yeah. I guess they just need to rely on their marketing. We'll see commercials for Wii Fit on Oxygen and Oprah.
And the Today Show and stuff like that. Rock Band got announced for Wii, finally. It kind of got announced before. I guess it wasn't official, but you're going to... Wii owners can look forward to one. It has the bundle, like the regular versions have. It's probably going to be a port of the PS2 game they're putting out.
That's disappointing, because, you know, they're not taking advantage of Wii's online. Actually, no one is. Not even Nintendo's taking advantage of Wii's internet.
I wonder what they're going to do capabilities. With the online play. I mean, they could do downloadable content later with that Wii Play to pay-to-play thing. But that might not be out for a few months.
Yeah.
And it should have online play, because Guitar Hero 3 had it, so why shouldn't Rock Band have it?
Right, right. But if it's just a direct port from PS2, that's not...
Well, it's going to have, like, songs have only available for the Wii. It's supposed to be, like, 5 songs, so it's not going to be a direct port. But,
Okay. Well, I mean, that's just because it just came out later. You know, they put a little bit of extra content for those who waited, but I don't know. If you've been waiting for this and you wanted online play, I think this is pretty disappointing.
I don't really mind that it was a PS2 port. I mean, who really looks at Rock Band and wants better graphics from it?
Well, I'm not saying graphics. I'm just saying.
I mean, I'm sure like some features might be stripped down for the PS2 version, but like they might be able to like put those in with a Wii game, because like PS2 online right now. Who knows who would want to take advantage of that, but they should be able to do for the Wii. If Guitar Hero could do it, they could do it.
Yeah, so we'll see. But again, I think like stuff like downloadable content is pretty huge. You know, just the fact that the PS2 version doesn't have that. I mean, I realize that that PS2's online service is not as refined as 360 or PS3, but still.
Well, the PS2, you gotta remember, it doesn't really have a... You have to buy, like, a hard drive, and they don't really sell those anymore, and trying to put, like, a million songs on those memory cards ain't gonna cut it.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be something with the Wii, too, because how many songs are gonna fit on that flash memory? It's only half a gig.
Yeah.
But the Wii version is gonna have 63 songs, so it definitely won't be slack on those.
Okay.
Right. Speaking of Wii, I forgot to mention the WiiWare title Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles: My Life as a King is gonna be charging for downloadable content. There's only gonna be one race one race that you can play with if you just buy the game, but you have to pay like $2 or $3 for the other two races, which is kind of Square taking advantage of people.
Yeah, that's bullshit. I thought I was under the impression that Nintendo had like a firmer grip on their third-party online stuff, and I don't know. So Nintendo is authorizing this. That means Nintendo is giving permission for this, which means that we probably will see more of this, which is no good, I don't think. Especially since this is stuff that you could get with the download. It probably comes with the download, but then you're just paying to unlock it.
It probably doesn't come with the download, because somebody's probably going to have like a cheat device and try to hack it. So they're probably going to make the races available through a download. Probably won't be much of a download, but...
But I think having downloadable content the day and date of when the game is released is pretty lame. Like you said, it is taking advantage of the consumer, and I don't know.
But hey, I mean, Square's taking their time to make a Final Fantasy game for the WiiWare service. I mean, I guess they can do whatever they want. I mean, it's capitalism. If somebody doesn't want to pay, they don't have to. But
true.
They're gonna have to learn. If they don't sell downloadable content as much as they like to, then they'll just put it in for free or just stop trying to make them. But the more third-party support, the better. I mean, you don't want to push developers away, because you're just not going to have as many games.
Yeah, true.
And here's a sequel nobody wanted. 50 Cent is going to come out. 50 Cent Bulletproof 2, or whatever it's going to be called. It's going to come out for PS3 and Xbox 360. There's only been a few screens so far. Graphically, it looks alright. I mean, it doesn't look that bad, but it's probably going to suck just as much as the PS2 game did.
Yeah, I tried to avoid the original as much as everyone else, so there's that. You don't think there's any hope? It's political now. That's cool, right?
Oh, man. Kids are stupid these days. They'll buy anything. They'll buy shit in a bag. Put 50 Cent face on it. So, like hotcakes. There was actually some kid, I was like walking my dog one day, and some kid came up to me from the neighborhood. I don't know who the hell he was, but he's like, you play video games? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you got PS2? I'm like, yeah, I do. And he's like, you ever play 50 Cent Bulletproof? It's like an awesome game. And I'm like, I just kind of restrained myself from laughing at him, because I know he's not going to understand that it's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how good bad a game is till you play good games.
Right.
And there's like that one time in your life, you know, after you play like Mario Bros. 3, Zelda, all the good games are of high quality, and then you finally get a buy your first stinker, and you're like, man, am I playing this wrong, or is this game just bad?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But it's the fanboy bias, just like how Nintendo fans revere Super Smash Brothers, but I mean, is it that good, or is it just because, you know, it's an awesome integration of all the Nintendo franchises and characters? I mean, this kid that you saw probably really liked 50 Cent, and now here's a game with 50 Cent, or excuse me, 50 Cent, and then he loves it. You know, it's an image thing.
Yeah, but with stuff like Smash Brothers, it's usually a
okay. Yeah, game. Yeah. I'm not comparing Super Smash Brothers to 50 Cent Bulletproof.
Yeah, I know. I get what you mean, but sometimes fan service makes a game better than it is. I like Dragon Ball, the anime series, a lot, but even now I can't swallow some of the game. But our next news thing, Rare confirms a 2008 release for Banjo-Kazooie 3. Yes, so 360 owners, you can look forward to mediocre platforming and collecting random shit.
Yeah. So if this ends up being good, will this be the first good Rare game on 360? Or wait, no, that was Viva Pinata, right?
Viva Piana's seems to be pretty all right. Whatever.
Piana, yeah, I thought that was all right. I played it a little bit. So the first popular, good, Rare game on 360.
It's probably just gonna be like a Perfect Dark Zero was. They probably just try to make it like how Perfect Dark was, just with better graphics. That's probably all they did for that game. And they're probably just gonna do the same for Banjo. And a lot of people are just gonna be wondering, oh man, this is a bad sequel. No, the originals were bad games.
Yeah, we'll just have to see. And it's coming up holiday?
Just 2008. It's probably gonna be Christmas.
Yeah.
And our final bit of news, the Penny Arcade Adventures game that stars the characters from the PennyArcade.com comics. They're gonna come out like, I think in April or May, I can't remember. It's going to be episodic content. The episode 1 is going to come to PC and Xbox Live Arcade, and it's going to retail for $20. So people are looking forward to that, can finally know how much they're going to pay and when.
Cool. Yeah, that's it. That sounds like a good price for that $20.
And I guess that wraps it up, and when we get back, we'll do community. Hello and welcome back. This is going to be our community segment for episode 25, and Tox Ways has come back once again to finish the episode with us.
Yo.
First thread we're going to go into is what's the coolest loading screen you ever had? And that was started by Makoro Feth. His example was like Dragon Ball Z, one of those fighting games. I think it was Budokai or something. And, basically, just used the analog stick, spun around, and put a bunch of Cell Juniors. Yeah, really that cool. The only really ones that I kind of consider kind of cool is the ones that are kind of like hidden, like the Metroid Prime loading screens, where it's actually part of the game, the little doors that won't open.
That was going to be my example. That was exactly what I was thinking.
And I guess some of those games that have like a little arcade, little classic to play while you wait. But the coolest loading screens of all are the ones that take 2 seconds.
Yeah, or none at all.
Well, it wouldn't be a loading screen if it wasn't.
Exactly.
Next thread, Zero Reborn said Earthbound is never coming to the Virtual Console. And that's a little rant from him, like always. Basically, he noticed that the Earthbound Virtual Console demos in the Japanese version of Smash Brothers, but not in the American version. So he's kind of wondering if it won't make it to our Virtual Console ever. Now, Nintendo's not stupid. I mean, Ness is a pretty powerful character due to Smash Brothers. And I guess a lot of people are wondering who the hell Lucas is, thanks to Brawl, but they'd basically be throwing money away if they didn't put it out for Virtual Console at least in a couple years. What do you think?
Is Earthbound on the Japanese VC?
Not yet.
Well, I think that it'd probably have to go there first. I think we would have to expect it there first.
Oh yeah, I mean, most games come out in Japan on Virtual Console first, and later on America and then Europe. Usually through a few months' time. And imports, who knows how long they take to get there, but they usually try to make all games available in all three regions within 3 or 4 months, at the very most. But there are some examples. And sometimes Europe gets a game first before anybody does. Like, they got Cruisin' USA this week for the N64. Nobody has it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I would bet my life that they would eventually put Earthbound on it.
Would you bet your life that we see Mother 3?
Hell no. Maybe on an updated Virtual Console or a Virtual Handheld, but,
Well, I mean, not on Virtual Console, I mean in general.
Maybe.
Here in the States.
Maybe.
Would you bet your life?
No.
Okay.
Here's a good one. Evil Milk said, he made a thread called A Gamer's Dream, and this is pretty much a thread for everybody to put, like, dreams they had related to video games. There's some weird ones out there. I didn't get any examples, I forgot. But, I really don't dream much about video games, if ever. I mean, I had, like, a few Resident Evil dreams about zombies. That's kind of cliche. But, usually not ones that I want, like, being in a hot tub with, like, all the video game girls you want to have sex with, but,
Oh, wow, yeah.
Never one of those.
So, well, I mean, I have that dream, but not when I'm asleep, you know?
But, I did have one after this thread happened. I guess it just made me have a dream, but, basically, I guess I thought I was Ash, sort of. I saw some Pokemon run away from me. I was like, no, no, don't go, you're mine. So I chase after them, hop on one as, like, a horse, and then ride to some area. And somehow I piss off Kratos from God of War, so he tries to chase after me. And then we run into some area. It's like, there were, like, some revolving doors. It was, like, kind of like a maze of them. And in between these doors were, like, zombies from Resident Evil. And unlike the past dreams where I was kind of, like, super scared of them, I was actually not very afraid of them. I was kind of like the anime character who was afraid of the big guy but didn't mind kicking the little small enemies' asses. But I punched a zombie in the face and, like, ran through the door, and, like, Kratos was right behind me, and then he got trapped by a zombie, so I killed him. Yay for me.
That'd probably be a fun video game.
That's my dream, and that's all I remember. So you got any dreams?
That was pretty good. Ugh. You know, I can't think of any. Because, yeah, like you, I don't dream very often. So, gaming or otherwise. But that's pretty cool. Are there any cool examples in the thread?
Some are just pretty much cliche. I can't remember. It's been a long time since I looked at it. Because I had this written down for a long time.
So it's more Ash Ketchum losing his Pokemons and then teaming up with Kratos, right?
No, not teaming up. Getting...
No?
He was chasing after me, trying to kill me.
Oh, okay. I misinterpreted that.
Our next thread is controversial decisions that turned out well. Stuff like Square going to Sony. Yeah, sure. That didn't really turn out well. I mean, financially for them, but... that spawned, like, Final Fantasy VII bullshit. Fans who still won't shut the fuck up about it. So, I don't think that turned out well at all, in my case. I'm sure the games would have been pretty much the same, but I still can't stand some of those fans. There's also some, like, shit. Like, Sega not wanting to make consoles, Atari turning down Nintendo's offer to publish the NES in America.
Making Metroid a first-person shooter?
Yeah, that came up. That was a good one. I forgot. I just had one in my head. I forgot.
Motion controls?
Yeah, the whole Wii and DS, stuff like that.
Some would say that's not good.
Some
would say that didn't turn out well at all.
Nintendo turning down their Sony deal with the Nintendo PlayStation shit.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Turned out good for Sony because they made one of the best consoles ever.
Nintendo teaming up with Philips with the CDI? That was a good one, right?
Well, they didn't really team up with them. They kind of went out the deal midway, but they still had to license some of their games for the system. So Philip,
yeah, that was a good one.
Because they didn't really make any games for it. They just somehow lost a lot of license issues. So Philip's got to make their own Zeldas and Marios. Ugh, that did not turn out well.
What?
Yeah, never mind.
I like the Wand of Gamelon.
You actually played that?
No, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. That was not a good one at all.
Sure is boring around here.
Can't wait to bomb some Dodongos.
Well, excuse... No, those were in the cartoon. That's all the quotes I can remember.
Excuse me, princess.
That's all the quotes I can remember from it.
Yeah. I have that CDI Zelda remix. That's pretty funny.
Well, that throw was made by a Dyslexic Chaos. And our next art is made by Shaka DeFurgo. And his he says, Sony PSP outsells everything again. And he's pretty much finding a Japanese sales chart where the PSP actually outsells the DS and Wii by like 4,000 units. Wow. Only like 20 million, I mean, only like 30 million to go to catch up to the DS.
Right. Well, I mean, that's still pretty impressive. It's probably just, like, when a certain game came out, like, maybe Monster Hunter. I don't know the exact months that, that he posted.
Monster Hunter is about to come out, like a little expansion shit, and they're gonna go crazy out of that. And, they just had Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core come out, so that really definitely boosted sales, but, once Dragon Quest IX hits Japan, PSP sales will go down, and DS sales will go up. But then again, they're running out of people to sell DSs too. Seriously.
Yeah.
It's like one. It's like two out of six people in Japan own a DS or something like that. It's so weird.
That's pretty insane.
One in six, two out of six, but at a country that doesn't have 100% gamers. That's really good.
Yeah. I wonder what it is here.
What? It's probably a pretty good amount. I mean, we have more people in... We have a better total population than Japan does, I think, but,
Yeah. I don't think the, those, Japan is pretty much founded on all those wacky mainstream titles they have. I mean, have you seen a Japanese game show? I mean, it's that kind of whimsical feeling you get when you play, like, you're an eye doctor, or you have to, like, learn table manners through your DS.
I kinda get what you're saying, but, I guess we'll move on. That ends all the threads for, this week. But we do have, like, two things to get done before we end up the episode. We had a virtual console contest, last episode, and the question was, what was the first game Mario ever appeared in? I was just trying to buddy. And the answer was Donkey Kong, of course. And three people entered. They were Snake Link Sonic, Duck Hunter 007, and Cuban Kenny, who actually doesn't have a 1UP account. He just contacted me on MySpace and AIM. And five mere seconds before I was really going to decide between Snake Link Sonic and Duck Hunter, he contacted me. He's like, "Hey, have you decided a winner yet?" And I'm like, "No." He's like, "Well, here's my answer." I'm like, "Okay." So then I decided who would win out of those three. Rolled a die, signed the numbers for the each of them, and whoever got the number rolled would win. And of course, Cuban Kenny won. So the guy who doesn't even have a 1UP count won our contest. Way to go, guys! Way to go!
Right, and this. Yeah, on a 1UP associated podcast about the 1UP community.
I didn't.
With one of the most famous guys on 1UP, Link the Legend.
In the rules, I didn't state that you had to have a 1UP account, so that's kind of bad on my part. Yeah.
Are you gonna make that? Yeah, you're gonna make that a rule now.
In my defense, I didn't expect somebody without a 1UP account to actually listen to this podcast. I have a hard time getting people with 1UP accounts to actually listen to it. So,
yeah.
But. He got a Lunar Pool for the Nintendo Entertainment System, and I think he said he enjoyed that as a kid, so I guess he's happy. He got it for free. Yeah, it's
heartwarming.
But yeah. My last thing I'm gonna say is we're finally up on iTunes now, so you can subscribe to the podcast. If you're having any troubles, contact me and try to get you set up. But, that ends it up for the episode 25. I'd like to thank Tuck for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. It's good to be on.
And we're Ghost.